In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. The Good Samaritan. So we have almost 2,000 years of domesticating this parable behind us. It wasn't until I traveled to the Holy Land in 2011 and was guided by a faithful Jewish man to see Mount Gerizim that I started to understand who the Samaritans were and what their history was about. Mount Gerizim is just an hour north of Jerusalem. There are ruins of a temple there that the Samaritans built in the 5th century, before the Common Era, before Jesus. The Jewish man told us about the community of Samaritans, 800 of whom are still alive. They come from 4 different families and live in this Palestinian land. The Samaritans are one of the smallest, most ancient, and most historically hated religious groups in the world. These were a group of Jews who were not part of the 6th century BCE Babylonian exile. The Samaritans stayed behind. They believed that the Holy of Holies was contained at Mount Gerizim, not in Jerusalem. And they started to intermarry with the enemies, the Assyrians. This made them hated, despised for hundreds of years. They'd intermarried with the enemy, and when the exiles returned, the feud grew over hundreds of years to the point that at the time of Christ, the Jews hated the Samaritans so much that they would cross through the Jordan River instead of having to travel through Samaria. Several weeks of the year, I find myself making a visit up the street at the Good Samaritan Hospital. It's funny that we don't have any hospitals called the Good Catholic Hospital or the Good Baptist Hospital. Because to label the Samaritan, any Samaritan, a good Samaritan, should be, in today's climate, seen as offensive. Saying someone's a good Samaritan is comparable to, in this framework, saying he's a good Muslim, as opposed to all those others who in this framework must be terrorists, or she's a good immigrant, as opposed to the others who in this framework must be here to take our jobs and rip off the welfare system. This is the beginning of how we can strip away almost 2,000 years of usually benevolent and benign interpretations of this parable. So, who are the Samaritans, the despised people in today's culture? Criminals, rapists, child pornographers, they should make the top of many of our lists. Depending on your political proclivities these days, the likely suspects of your scorn may differ from person to person. Who is it for you? It's hard to think of any group of people that were despised to the degree that the Samaritans were despised. But think of a person or a group of people that just makes you bristle. What they believe, how they act. Someone you'd see walking across the street and go a different way to avoid them. That's your modern day Samaritan. Now, there are some Christian interpretations that try to explain away the priest and the Levite as they decide to pass by the side of the road. These Christian interpretations say, well, these Jews had to maintain purity laws. Touching a half-dead man might make them impure. Well, there's a New Testament and Jewish scholar, Amy Jill Levine, who maintains that these are faulty interpretations. Going back to the law as outlined in Leviticus, the Jewish person had a mandate to love the neighbor and love the stranger both. The Levite and the priest, the ones you'd think would show mercy, simply walk by. They failed to live the law. As Levine points out, going from these two potential Israelites who look on and could help to a Samaritan who actually stops and helps is like going from Larry and Mo to Osama bin Laden. As Amy Jill Levine writes of the Good Samaritan, to understand the parable as did its original audience, we need to think of Samaritans less as oppressed but benevolent figures and more as the enemy, as those who do the oppressing. She writes, from the perspective of the man in the ditch, Jewish listeners might balk at the idea of receiving Samaritan aid. They might have thought, I'd rather die than acknowledge that one from that group saved me. I do not want to acknowledge that rapist has a human face. Or I do not want to recognize that a murderer will be the one to rescue me. End quote. It's the lawyer in this gospel exchange who gets the wake-up call in asking Jesus, and just who is my neighbor? The lawyer is trying to work out who is not his neighbor. And in essence is asking, who does not deserve my love? Whose need can I ignore? And whom can I hate? The answer Jesus gives us is no one. Everyone deserves love. Local or alien, Jew or Gentile, Republican or Democrat, public school prayer warrior or abortion provider. Everyone. A man shared with me a story this week that he gave me permission to share with you. Ryan had been traveling. It was a different part of the country, an area foreign to him, and it was getting dark, and Ryan hadn't made plans for where he would stay. And he started to get a little nervous. There was a man, a stranger, who saw Ryan without a clear plan and no immediate place to go. And the stranger offered his home, a spare room where he could stay. Ryan felt relieved, filled with gratitude at the grace extended to him by this man, and he meandered down the dark hall of the house to sleep soundly. The next morning he awoke, he packed his bag, prepared to continue his journey, and with daylight now streaming in through the windows of the home, hours of rest recharging and renewing him, Ryan set out to greet and thank his host before being on his way. It took only moments for Ryan to look around and see signs, signals on the man's person hanging in his home. This was a man who had a very different worldview than he. Even what the man was wearing signaled to Ryan, from what he'd read and understood, this man could be hostile. Yet the man was far from any of that. Kind, hospitable, gracious. That man whose kind Ryan had been taught to fear had taken him in to rest, safety, and security for that one night. Ryan had encountered a modern-day Good Samaritan. I wonder today if we ought to put ourselves in the position of the man suffering on the side of the road. At some point in our lives, most all of us will be in a place of vulnerable need. Whether we're lost and in need of direction or lodging, sick and in need of care, or one day dying, someone will take care of us. This congregation reaffirmed our baptismal promises last week to seek to serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. The kingdom of God becomes manifest not just when we pray for our enemies and those we perceive to hate us, but recognize they might actually be capable of caring for us, loving us, healing us in our time of greatest need. and the one you hate with a perfect hatred could one day be the fellow human person, unafraid to see you simply as human person and cross the perceived lines to bandage your wounds and even to save your life. May we not only have the confident, fearless love to be a good Samaritan, but also to receive help and hope from the hated one. Amen.